Well, thank the Lord this morning for God's salvation. I'm thankful He wanted me and you to have it, and He brought it down to us. I'm thankful that He knew we couldn't pay for it, and I'm thankful He paid for it. So thank the Lord today that you and me are saved by the grace of God, and we want to thank Him for that unspeakable gift of salvation this morning. It's the greatest thing that ever happened to you or to me. It's the greatest thing that will ever happen in this side of eternity. So Lord, help us to be thankful today. Help us to look up. I've mentioned this not lately. We were bowing in prayer years ago down in Gina, Louisiana. Brother Manuel Mitchell was praying. And don't know all that was on his mind particularly, but he said, Lord, help us to look up and take courage. And that's what I want to do today. I want to look up and take courage in the God of my salvation. Wonderful, wonderful Lord my God is. How much do you know about God? You ever thought about that? How much do you know about God? His presence, His power. What do you know about Him and how much? You ever thought about it? Some have studied God and studied the Word and commentaries and Greeks and different languages, Hebrews, and that's good. Wonder how much we really know about God. How much does man know about God? You ever thought about it? Our time on this terrestrial is what? 70, 80 if by the measure of the Lord. How much can we learn about God? First portion of our life is spent learning how to eat and walk and do those physical things. Last half of our life, sometimes not the last half, but the last portion of our life is maybe spent on how just to make it from day to day. I wonder, how much does man know about God? I've always been very careful to speak for God because I recognized early on that I know in comparison to God very little. When I think of God as being eternal, now that boggles our mind because there's no beginning. And everything that I understand about life is somewhere there's a beginning and somewhere there's an end. Eternal God is always and always shall be. Wonder what all God has seen. Wonder what people have come and gone since God created man. I wonder what philosophies God has heard, error God has heard. I wonder just about that sometimes. In the scheme of everything, how much do we know about God? Today we live in a very dark world, really, spiritually. We're enlightened on so many physical things, electronic things, scientific things. But then every now and then the world reveals itself and someone will humbly say, I don't know. The world will sometimes come around and say, well, what we thought is not really the way it is, but we've got a new theory that's going to take its place, and now we know. Only to be left a little later on saying, well, maybe that just doesn't work the way we thought it did after all. A lot of spiritual blindness in the world today. People's minds are blinded by the God of this world, Paul said, preventing the light of the gospel and the glorious light to shine on us. And it comes at a cost. It comes at the cost of the welfare of men's souls. And then when a man's soul is lost, somebody else is probably going to be lost also. Because that person who's lost affects someone else and has an influence to some degree over someone else, and they will impute their unbelief or their misinformation, and someone will most likely believe it. And the Bible said they would believe lies and be damned. A lot of misinformation going out about God. Now, it's kind of a strange thing that man would try to behold God and then try to speak for God. I think Old brother Job got a good lesson. Brother Job was doing a lot of speaking and a lot of truth in what he said. Elihu and those other three men, you can't say that things they said were totally wrong by any means. And I suppose as they talked, they got to talking a little more and they, well, now this sounds right to me. And they would maybe add on to it a little bit. Bearing in mind, Job was very hurt and sick and devastated in a sorrow of heart. And no doubt Job was extremely, Lord help me, I need to know this. And Job began to rationalize and say some things that, like I say, they weren't necessarily not wrong or untruth, but they weren't in the vein God wanted Job to be going in. After a little season of conversations, I don't know how long it went on, God began to speak. And he asked Job, said, Job, where were you? Had a little message about that some time ago. And Job began to think, well, I wasn't there. Well, Job, I did so-and-so, and where were you when I did that? And Job thought a little more, and well, I wasn't there. God did it, though. The Lord speaks about why would he ask man for his counsel? Would I ask you? So after a while, Job got to thinking about it and kind of got ashamed of himself and repented. Lord, help us. Where were we? How big is God? How much do we know about God? I believe today what we need to know about God is contained in the Bible. And we need to believe it not only in a head knowledge, but by faith believe it and live by it. He said, the just shall live by faith. Not to place in its stead what I think or what I believe. That'll get us in trouble. It'll be a harm to our soul. Taking off on tangents about God will cause us to miss the mark. We'll begin to go astray. And what is the mark? I think the ultimate mark for you and me today is to make heaven our home. We've got to set our eyes on Jesus and set our affections and our faith on him and learn obedience be willing to accept by faith the Word of God and not allow ourselves to think, I think this about God or I think that about God. Because the mark that you and me are trying to hit, if you will, today is eternally important. And it cannot be compared to the things we might want or feel in inclined to pursue in this life. Lord, help us today to think about God and want to know God. I'm thinking today, Scripture, and we'll read it in a minute, about the mystery of godliness and how men have assumed to know the mysteries when they didn't have a revelation from God. The old Greeks and the Latins, they described it through a variety of gods and interactions of those gods. Homer, I believe, wrote about it in the Iliad and the Odyssey and a lot of other Greek mythology and Roman mythology, trying to explain how it all happened and where it all came from. Lord, help us not to think that the mystery of godliness can be explained away with human thinking and human reasoning. I want to read something that David wrote. It's in the 139th Psalm. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsetting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest or winnowest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Then David draws a conclusion at this point. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain to it. I think that was probably, if you can say this, an understatement. To compare the workings of God and the divinity and the holiness of God, the eternity of God, the truths of God, the knowledge of God, and try to put it in a capsule of some kind and take it as a educational course per se. It's something that we need to fathom. It's too high for me, too great for me. To be able to understand the divine who knows my thoughts from afar off, who saw the man sitting under the tree, who understands where we are and where we've been and where we're going. To understand not only the thoughts but the intent of our heart. A God who can speak and things are created and made out of things that do not exist prior to that. And David got to thinking about it, I guess, and it's too wonderful. It's awe. I stand in awe of what you've done and who you are. And it's kind of where Job got to after God had discoursed with him a while. Job covered his face and his mouth and hid himself, as it were, from God, ashamed. It's too high. It's too wonderful. I'm in awe. I'm dumbfounded by it. He said, I cannot attain to it. Oh, that man today would stop their usurping authority of their reasoning and thinking over the Word of God. This morning, if any of us are guilty of placing the words on God that do not belong to God, or trying to assume that we're some way righteous in contradiction to the Word of God, may we humble ourselves this morning and recognize that God is a mystery to man. And we understand God as God reveals Himself. We understand God as He allows us to understand Him. We understand God as we hunger and thirst after Him, and He bestows grace to understand and perceive God Himself. He needed to send and had to send someone that was you and me could handle and touch and see. And He said His name shall be called Emmanuel, which by interpretation is God with us or God among us. God came down in the flesh. It was not an angel that was created. It was not just a man, a babe that was endued with special anointing from God, but it was God Himself who came down to be with us and among us. Jesus told one of His disciples, "Have I been so long with you and you've not seen the Father? When you've seen me, you've seen the Father." That's grace. That's the mercy of God. That's God willing to show to ignorant man Himself. And yet mankind has presumed upon that and tried to place their so-called intelligence and understanding and their fleshly appetites and ways of thinking in a way that would displace the very counsel of the Almighty. He said, it's too great for me. It's too high. I could never attain it. I think about recently some people were climbing, I believe it's called mountain, it's K2, and second highest in the world maybe. They got in trouble up there. Some of them did, and some lost their lives. And I got to thinking about it. 27,000 something feet, I believe, right at it. And I thought, and then some of the first staging areas are at 15 and 20,000, and I couldn't exist there. I could never hope to attain to the summit of K2 or Mount Everest. The best I could do is hope to fly over it in a pressurized airplane one day. There are things that are beyond man's understanding. And certainly the divine, the Holy One is. And writers of various times in different places have been bold enough and accurate enough to say that. And David said, it's just too high for me. So then here we are in this life, wanting to go to heaven, wanting to understand how to live, wanting to do right. Lord, help us to take advantage of the gift of God that you and me might know, and that you and me not be in ignorance. In 1 Timothy 3 and 16, I like the way Paul wrote this. He was convinced in his mind anyway. 1 Timothy 3 and 16, and without controversy. As if to say, it's no question about it. Don't even attempt to tell me what I'm fixing to say is not so. I'm convinced of it in my mind. And I am too as I read it. Without controversy. Comparing me to the what I don't understand, and comparing what mankind has tried to attain to and yet been unable to do, compared to how people have tried to explain God, explain His origin, and explain where heaven is and exactly where hell is and where the devil came from. And it's kind of phenomenal. And it's nothing wrong, I suppose, with surmising and thinking about those things. But quite frankly, we may know when we get to heaven if it's important. But right here on this earth, it doesn't take us long to understand we don't know a lot. Without controversy, great, large, is the mystery of godliness. The person of God, the kingdom of God, the Spirit of God, the very identification of God, Paul declares it to be a great mystery. Lord, help us today to be so thankful that God in His love and His gracious kindness to us has come down to us in Christ, in the Holy Ghost, in the printed Word, desiring and attempting and wanting to unfold some of that mystery that we may know Him. And that we may know not only Him, but the power of His resurrection. And that you and I might attain at any cost to the resurrection of the dead. That God has made it available to us how to be saved. What is the means of our salvation? Where to look to for salvation? What to expect after salvation? Paul writes a good bit of his book, the letters he wrote, instructing the Christian community on the idea of how Christians ought to live. Expounding on the virtue of holiness and the expectation of God. Had God not revealed that to us, but He did. And now you and me can have a knowledge of the divine, that I may know Him. Above everything else, I suffer the loss of these things, Paul wrote, that I may know Him, that I may attain to that eternal prize. Paul wrote another place, it's so wonderful, and I understand some of the things that about it. I want to attain to it. I bring my body under subjection. I understand now that a Christian's life is to be a temperate life, a holy life, a disciplined life. A life not given over to the lasciviousness of the flesh. Therefore, I bring my body, I bring my affections, I bring my appetites, I bring that under subjection. Paul wanted, and you and me want to, attain to the resurrection of the dead, to that glorious eternal kingdom. Lord, help us to be students of God. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, and there was other things that needed to be done. Folks, there's always going to be things that need to be done. We'll never come to a place where you and me don't need to do something, need to go somewhere, need to take care of this. And there's a place for that, but not at the expense of our soul. People can find such simple excuses, I believe, not to go to service, at the expense of being able to learn a little more of the divine. Not just because the preacher preaches, but God has agreed to come down where two or three is gathered together in His name and be among us. God is here today, not because of me, not necessarily because of you, but because of a promise He made if we will meet in His name, hungering and thirsting, He'll be here among us. And men jeopardize that relationship from some really flimsy excuses for not being where God's people are meeting together. Lord, help us to have a grave fear of God and a grave reverence for His presence and to recognize we will always have something to do. Life will make sure you have something to do. Mary, she didn't go by the way. She recognized something very important was there. And the love of her soul cried out, Martha is not going to understand. In fact, she doesn't understand. But life is here. Hope is here. The Messiah, the teacher, the rabbi, as he was called, he's here. And there'll always be dishes. Right, sisters? There's always going to be dishes. There's always going to be a meal to cook. There's always going to be some hungry people hanging around. Lord, help us take advantage of an opportunity to learn from the divine. Men let other things keep them out of school. And when I mean school, I mean the teaching arena of God's Spirit, the teaching arena of God's Word. Time for a lot of things. But do we have enough time to learn of the divine? Who we are to be, help me here. Neglecting the knowledge and the study of the divine, of whom we might be more ignorant than we think. Because how big is God? You draw me a picture of eternity. Write me an essay on the expanse of the universe. How great is God today? Do we know it all? He said, great is the mystery. And mystery in the Greek, the word means, of course, mystery. It means secret. Also means the hidden things. It's a hidden or a secret thing that is not obvious to the understanding. And I think we understand today that the gulf between God and man was only bridged through Jesus Christ. The sins had separated us from the divine. How much we need a Savior. How much we needed one. How much we need Him today. How much we need an understanding of Him. If you read some of the commentaries on what other people have written concerning this scripture, it brings another little insight to it. You can look this up in quite a few translations of the Bible, and it pretty much says what it says here in the King James. But some have added or thought of it this way also, and I don't think I take issue with it. Well, I know I don't. Great, because they were taking it in context as it's written, and they see it as learned men who studied the vernacular of the Greek. It said, great is the importance and the seriousness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I think we can all say amen to that. Great is the mystery. Great is the importance. Great is the seriousness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And how you and me, it is our means of salvation. Okay, another thought they said, and it came to my mind this way. Consequently, if it's so great, so much past us, so much that is hidden from our understanding, it's something that we cannot afford then to take lightly or irreverently. Lord, help us to be very reverent about God. Not to take His name in vain, but beyond that, reverent about who He is and an opportunity to learn from Him, the Master. Taking the opportunities and not being neglectful and slothful of developing and having a relationship with the divine and learning from Him. But God, help us this morning to have a hunger, a tremendous thirst, a craving, a wonderful unction within us. Lord, I want to know You and the power of Your salvation and Your resurrection. Lord, I want to sit at Your feet and be instructed. And remember what Jesus said of Mary, that she's learning, that she is acquiring here right now at My feet. While Martha, you're busy about many other things. Martha, what is given to Mary today will not be taken against her, taken away from her. Trials are going to come to Mary. Different things are going to happen to her life. But she's going to learn something today that will be a sustenance in her life. It will be a strength in her life. It will be a bridge over the troubled waters that she's going to encounter later on. And it will not. I will not forsake Mary on this. And when the time comes, those things that she's learned at My feet will be there to guide her across the river. They'll be there to help her to go over the mountain and through the valleys. They'll be there to guide her, to help her and encourage her to resist temptation and how to live godly. This word godliness is piety. The mystery of the holiness and the piety of God. The piety or the holiness of the very plan of God. You see, holiness to me, to a man, is at best a theory. Paul wrote about it in the 7th chapter of Romans. He said, but how to do it, I don't know how. And I get all confused when I do try to live holy, talking of himself before he was regenerated. I can't acquire it. I don't know how to do it. I know that I ought to, but I don't know how. Lord, help us today. The Bible can be a mystery, but it's not to be that. It was meant to be a lamp and a guide, an instruction in righteousness. But you and me have to reverence it. We have to be so appreciative of it. We must hunger and we must thirst after it. For those are the ones that the promise is that they'll be filled. Paul's writings had much to do with Christian conduct. God's interested today in our conduct. The things that he wrote concerning conduct via Jesus and Paul and the apostles, they're true today. They're valid today. And man has come to a place many times to usurp some type of authority so-called over that and try to say, well, that was for then or that's not for now or things have changed. It's a universal, eternal gospel. Over in Romans, the 11th chapter, and the 33rd verse. Oh, the depth. Paul was talking here about, well, in the 32nd verse, God just called us all sinners. The Jews, the Gentiles, Greeks, everybody. He just said they all need help. They all need salvation. They all need help. The Jews by this time had gotten rather self-righteous. The orthodoxy of them had. And maybe they felt like they didn't need a Savior and the Gentiles couldn't be saved and on. But God had a better plan that, quite frankly, they didn't comprehend and they didn't understand. God said, I'm going to put you all in the same classification. You need a Savior. Then he said in the 33rd verse, Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of whom and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. How unsearchable, how literally unsearchable is the depths and the judgments and the wisdom of God. God's ways today, without his intervention and his help, are absolutely beyond finding out. Lord, help us to be humble. I need you, Lord. From the oldest to the youngest, we need him. We need him to teach us. We need him to enlighten us. We need him for him to shed light on his gospel. Going back to something I think David wrote, 25th chapter now of Psalms, he begins here to enlighten us. How am I to know it? How can I know it? This great mystery, this terribly important issue of salvation in the mind of God and the very person of God and the requirements of God and the expectations of God. It's so great that here we are stumbling around. They're just too high for us. I can't attain to it. David said this that I believe helps us begin to understand what God has done. In Psalms 25 and 12, what man is he that feareth the Lord? We could ask us and ourselves that question today. Who among us fears the Lord? Who among us hold God in the highest of highest regards? Who of us today fears the Lord in reverence and awe and humble ourselves at his word? Who understands our own frailty and compares ourselves as nothing but the dust compared to the august majesty on high? God wants us to fear him, and he's asking the question, do you fear me? Who among us today? And it said, Him shall he, the Lord, teach in the way that he should choose. The Lord is looking for people who respect him. Respect him enough to leave the dirty dishes or the plowing of the field and come sit at his feet. The Lord is looking for people who consider what he is and who he is and the necessity of the greatness of his mystery of godliness to far exceed anything else that ever occur in our life, and drop, leave our fish nets, leave whatever we're doing at the receipt of customs, whatever we're doing, if we're minding and going about to persecute the church even, to leave that behind us and take up our cross and follow him. God is looking for people that he can teach, if I can use the word educate, that he can instruct, that he can unfold the mystery of his godliness. He put a criteria on it. Who is it that fears me? Who is it that has a deep reverence for me? Who is it that loves me above all other things? God is looking for such. Lord, help me and you to be counted in that number. He said that's the one he will show. That's the one he can teach. That's the one he can reveal this great mystery of godliness, where it does not have to be such a mystery. And he said of this person, his soul shall dwell at ease. What is this world looking for? Peace, contentment. 40 acres and the mule, as they used to say there in the Depression. Trying to find that little niche where the troubles of life and the trials and my house will be in order and things will be at peace. Men have searched for that for the eons of mankind. And he said here, this man who has a deep reverence for God and a fear of God, who will be instructed in righteousness, who will neglect everything else for his soul and his relationship with God, he said God will take that man and show him and direct him and let him know what he should choose. And then he said that person's soul, that person's life, that person's heart shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. Lord, help us today. Do we truly want to be at ease? God, help us to have a deep reverence for God. Who of us will be instructed in righteousness? And he said in the 14th verse, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. It's important. This great mystery, where is it revealed and to whom? Those that, again, fear him. Those who reverence him. Those that put him first. Those who honor him. What all could we say? That's where the secrets begin to be unfolded. And he will show them his covenant. We have to have, should have, and must have to learn a tremendous reverence and respect for God. We need to take the gospel and the revelations of Jesus Christ with all the soberness we know how, with all the hope that it deserves. And God will respond to that with an outpouring. God will respond to that with an opening of our minds. God will respond to that by saying, this is the way. Walk ye in. Hebrews 8. 8 and 8. He said of the covenants, 8 and 8 of Hebrews, for finding fault with them, we're picking up in mid-thought. He saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Jacob, of Judah rather, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. Now, remember what we read in Psalms 25:14, and he will show them his covenant. To those who fear him, to those who count him above everything else, to those who are willing to lay aside absolutely whatever and everything to set at Jesus' feet, he will make a covenant. He will begin to unfold the mystery of himself. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. What a wonderful promise. And we all can know the Lord from the least to the greatest. We won't have to have another man teach us. We can know the Lord for ourselves. Great is the mystery. And to those who fear him and honor him and reverence him, and take the offering of with the greatest of sobriety, to them he will reveal and extend his covenant. And that covenant is an understanding written in our heart. The laws of God, not on tables of stone, but on the fleshly tables of our heart. A new heart, a converted heart, and a new covenant God wants to make with mankind. Isn't that a wonderful thought when you begin to think of it? How big is God? How much do you know about God? Write me a book that contains everything about God. Can't do it. It's impossible. Yet God, what is it that God, who is so great, yet he would come and take up his abode in our heart. This finite mind that is so limited, he would unfold a mystery of godliness to. He said, I'll put my laws to their mind and write them in my heart, in their heart. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Jesus, in one place in the New Testament, in John's, as he was with his disciples, he breathed on them, signifying, I believe, the Holy Ghost, and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Something God wants for his church. One of the very last, if not the last, commandment given by the Lord, go to Jerusalem, tarry there, till you be endued with power from on high. In Jeremiah, 29th chapter, and the 10th through the 13th verse, and ye shall seek me, and you find me, when you search for me with all your heart. How great is the mystery of godliness? Wow, it's great. Can we understand it? Yes. Can it be revealed to us? Yes. Can we learn it? Yes. How? Ask, seek, knock, but with all our heart. Lord, you're more necessary than the bread I ate this morning for breakfast. You're more important than the sleep I had last night. You're more important than the duties of life. You're more important than hurt feelings. You're more important than my opinions and my ideas. Lord, you're paramount. Without you, there's no life. You shall look for me, and you shall find me. When you begin your quest from the heart and not an intellectual trying to understand something. And he said in that, we won't go to it, but it's about the 13th verse or something, 29th chapter of Jeremiah, and I will turn away your captivity. This morning, the world is captivated by ignorance. The world is rejoicing in spiritual ignorance. False doctrines are proliferated on every scheme of things. And people are believing lies rather than the truths. The Lord wants to turn away our captivity from false teaching, from erroneous information, from false assumptions. And the Lord wants you and me to become a living sacrifice, reverently devoted to Him, that He can come and possess our heart and write Himself on the tables of our heart and pour out upon us of Himself. There's a river flowing from that great throne above. And He wants that river to be my river and yours that we live in. May the Lord help us that way. First Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, 1 Corinthians 2:9, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Now this is interesting to me. Even to us today who love God, we need help understanding what God has prepared for us. Never underestimate the necessity of the Holy Spirit. Never. Please do not consider Him, the Holy Spirit, as an option. I think we're saved the moment we confess and are washed in the blood, and if we die, we're going to heaven. But that's not to be where we're supposed to stay. There is a teacher involved. There is a Spirit of God that is involved. who wants to then begin to unfold to us the mystery of godliness and lead us into all truth. Aside from the fact that He wants to empower us and give us authority and an anointing, God wants to teach us the mystery of godliness. So even to those that love Him, man doesn't understand yet what God has prepared for even those that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Great is the mystery of God. Is it impossible to know it? No. Can we know the great mysteries? Yes. And how do we learn it? One, of course, is to be born again. One, of course, is to seek Him with all of our heart. Amen. And He will reveal His covenant to us. Thank the Lord for that. Another one is, receive ye the Holy Ghost, the teacher, the anointed, the Spirit of God that will lead us into all the truths. Then we can become, He said, how unsearchable of our ways. Now they're searchable. Probably most of us know enough about a computer to hear heard of the word search engines. Now, when I first heard of a search engine, my first mind, this is quite a few years ago, by the way, I was actually thinking of a locomotive on a railroad track. And I was trying to figure out, what is that? A search engine. God has a way that you and me can search the deep things of God. And it's not called Google. God has a means by which it no longer has to be an absolute mystery to us. But we can know the things, and let's read the rest of that. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man. Flesh, don't you get lifted up and think you know something. But the Spirit of God. We don't know anything of God without the Spirit. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. I thank the Lord this morning. Great is the mystery of godliness. Unattainable, unreachable, unsearchable. Past finding out in my little old simple mind. But God has made a way for us to know the mystery of godliness. To fear Him, to reverence Him, to forsake all and follow Him. To that man He will show, teach. To that person who will sit at His feet in spite of the calling of the world to do so and so. God will not forsake, and it will not be taken away. To that man and that woman who, after regeneration, will want hunger and thirst after the Holy Spirit, it's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Then we can become aware and search the deep things of God without a computer, that we might freely know the things that are given to us by God Himself. May the Lord help us today. He said in Luke 11 and 9, I want to read that in closing. Lest you think the Holy Spirit is a mystery in and of Himself that only elect can maybe receive some way. In Luke 11 and 9, I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Praise God for that verse. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will you for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, being human, being of the flesh, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? What a privilege it is to know the things that are freely given to us of God. And it comes, we don't want to just say just the Holy Ghost, but I question whether we can receive it without the Holy Ghost. Because it's the Holy Spirit that reveals to us the mystery. You wonder sometimes why is there so much confusion over the 66 books. I believe the answer is the lack of the Spirit. And men drawing on the only resource they have to understand the Scriptures, and that's their mind. Peter, I believe it was, said they wrest the Scriptures to their own destruction. Wouldn't that be a terrible thing to take the book of life, misrepresent it and misunderstand it, and wrest it to your own destruction? God wants us to have the Holy Ghost. He wants us to have it so we'll know the mystery of godliness. Will I ever understand it all? I think I'm going to say for myself, no. He talks about a day when we shall be known as we are known. But I don't think I'm there yet. I'm still in the student phase. I believe we all are still in the student phase. Lord, help us to be eager, hungry learners, to thirst after it with all our heart. Protection to our soul, defense against the fiery darts, and a way that you and me might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Thank the Lord for revealing the deep mysteries of the Word of God.